Is it possible to be sinless? It is a very interesting question. And what does it mean to be sinless? First, I think we should try to answer the question of what a sin is, because otherwise we will be talking about nothing. So, what is a sin? In the Christian meaning, a sin is nothing but the resistance to the laws of human nature. That's first of all. And given that the human nature is nothing but the reflection of God Himself, therefore it turns out that a sin is an action which is not just resistance to human nature, but to God as well. So what does it mean to resist our nature? How can we do that? That's very simple. For example, when a person suddenly sits on a hot skillet, they just touch it and jump up on the spot. Why? Because the human body can normally exist at some temperature. Any temperature higher than that is a deadly threat to a human body. So what is my point? It turns out that a sin is an unnatural action. So nature is not something that we see around us, but in this particular case we are talking about the nature of a human being. So in this particular case, a sin is an action when a person harms their nature, and as a person consists of both a soul and a body, they can harm both a soul and a body with their sin. It is more or less clear in the systems of all religions. But again, here Christianity said something that unfortunately other religions know very little about or know nothing about. Christianity called a sin the following, turning to the first biblical stories, to the very beginning of human creation, turning to how the first people broke the commandment of God not to eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Christianity says the following: by this eating, a person damaged their nature. So, with this sin, by means of doing something unnatural, a person didn't just hurt themselves, but they damaged their human nature in essence. Of course, any injury hurts us, but the fall of man was different because here was the rupture of the necessary connection of God and people. I can set you the following example, which can clarify the situation. So, can you imagine the Red Sea? The water is warm and the fish are beautiful, and the divers are going underwater, but the snorkeling gear keeps them attached to the ship and they get air through it. And suddenly they receive an order, get on board, and the diver says, I don't want to get on board, it is so great in here. And then he takes out the knife and cuts the snorkel in order for them not to drag him up to the ship. So that's what happened. This is the analogy which illustrates what happened in this case. So the connection was ruptured. Of course, in the end, they managed to get the diver out of water, but some irreversible processes took place. People became mortal, but they had been immortal. They became perishable. So that means they became susceptible to the flow of time, and their organism and soul change, and these changes lead to death, and they became vulnerable to passions, which means they became susceptible to sufferings, and they had body of matter, but it was spiritual. How Christ rose from the dead and demonstrated how that was possible. His disciples could touch him, he could eat, and at the same time he could walk through the door, he could appear out of nowhere, and he could disappear as well. So that's an amazing property, and these are the initial natural properties of people, and the state that we find ourselves now in is not natural, it is perishable, it is mortal. It is susceptible to sufferings, and the spiritual body wouldn't experience any of that. So this consequence of the fall of man, these consequences, which are defined by the Holy Fathers as mortality, perishability, and passions, meaning vulnerability to sufferings. So these three properties are also called a sin. The first sin that Adam and Eve committed was connected with their act of will, so they are guilty of it because they broke the commandment, but consequently the nature changed, and this state of mortality, perishability, and passions are also called a sin, but meaning what? Meaning that any injury of our nature is a sin. So, consequently, can a person be without sin? It is the same as if I say, can a person not only stop committing conscious sins, but can they also cure their own nature, which is mortal, perishable, and vulnerable to passions? Can a person cure their nature? Saint Athanasius the Great wrote the following: repentance erases our sins, but it doesn't cure our nature. It is impossible to cure our nature from the very beginning of the world and till the very end. We remain mortal. Even though repentance erases our sins, but just for some time, but it cannot cure our nature, which is damaged. Therefore, it is sinful. Alexey Ilyich, please tell us, what did Jesus Christ do then? Did he relieve us from the sin with his sufferings and resurrection? This is an amazing question. First of all, in our manuals there are some amazing things. First, we read there repeatedly that Jesus Christ saved us from the sin, from death, and so on. But nowhere we can read in particular directly what they mean, for it is written in Hebrews, for it was fitting for God to make the captain of salvation perfect through sufferings. But Christ was already perfect, wasn't he? So what does it mean? The Holy Fathers write that Christ accepted the human nature, which is mortal, perishable, and susceptible to sufferings, but without any sinful passions which arise in people as the result of their free will. So, when Christ was crucified, he cured in himself the human nature, not in us, but in himself. And he rose from the dead, being immortal, imperishable, and not susceptible to sufferings. But why should we care about that? Because in the sacrament of baptism, when a person takes it with faith and repentance, they receive a seed of this new, cured, healthy nature, and their attitude to it can be different. A person can grow this seed and get united with God, and their nature will start recovering, or they can let the seed die. The great saints reached great heights, but nobody achieved the full recovery, which will happen after the resurrection of the dead, when people will have new bodies. So, what is the difference between sinlessness and holiness? In church we speak of the saints and of reverend fathers. Who are we talking about? Of course, we are talking about people who are called saints, that means they're clean. For example, let's take Saint John from Kronstadt. Let's read his diaries. So, what can we find in his diaries? He is a righteous man whose righteousness was testified by numerous miracles, by many people. So we have no doubt that he was a saint. But what can we find in his diaries? That sometimes he envied some layman who was a teacher, who said something better than he did. Sometimes he got angry with his cook. Sometimes he had some other sins, but he was different from us. How? Please pay attention. This is an amazing example for all the Christians. At the same moment, he turns to God with remorse. So he was such a unique person in general, but in this case, he turned to God at once, every time, and then he writes, "And again, I felt the freedom and space in my soul, some relief, because indeed, sins hurt our soul, and this experience helps us realize how close God is to us. God is ready to relieve us, to cure our injury, but we must turn to Him with all our heart for this, with repentance after every sin. So we live unconsciously, without any analysis of our inner life. And a saint person is the one who is fighting against sins which arise in their soul. You know, some people are bored in church. They are waiting for the service to end because they don't want to make themselves pray. They don't want to say the Jesus' prayer 5 times with all their hearts. But to the extent to which a person is fighting their sins and passions, and to the extent to which they repent, this dirt is going away, and God is curing our injuries. We become cleaner, and moreover, something else is happening. God gives us His glory, and we get united with God to the extent to which a person sees their sins and has repentance. So, a person is united with God to the extent to which they have or acquire humility. You know, and humility is when I see myself, see my real sins. So, can a person be sinless? So, in the state we find ourselves now? Of course not. We keep hurting ourselves, even though God gave us the commandments. What are these commandments? This is not an order of God, as some people think. These are not laws. And if we break this law, God will punish us. No. God's commandments are God's warnings. Please don't hurt yourself. Please don't walk on the glass because you will hurt yourself. Don't go to the jungle because there are many poisonous snakes. You might not come back from there. So the commandments are the warnings, but not the orders. It's not about punishment. It is about warning in order for you not to punish yourself. So any sin is nothing but self-damage. That's what it is. It is so important to understand this. And when we call each other to remorse, is when we say to a sick person, please ask the doctor for the medicine. So you get hurt, please turn to the doctor. That's what the prayer is, and that's what the repentance is. So Jesus Christ is the doctor and not the judge. And you will be sentenced to life or to death? No. These are all just images from the Bible, but these images were given for the primitive psychology. But according to Christianity, God is love and the doctor, and He is ready to cure us. And we hurt ourselves, our bodies, and our souls. We should turn to God with repentance. That's why we said, Lord, please have mercy on me, please forgive me, please help me. That is the situation. So, unfortunately, we cannot be sinless. But, and it is very important, even though we cannot cure our damaged nature, but we mustn't commit actions, sinful actions against our conscience and commandments of God.